Good Sunday morning. It's hashtag everyone talking about hashtag everything. I'm Kate Doherty and my co-host Keely Rager. She looks fantastic today. I wish she was on TV, you guys.
Good morning.
Uh-huh. She loves it when I'm up this bright and early and ready to rock and roll. Anyway, so we are excited. We had a great segment with Dr. Kishore Velodi and we really enjoyed it. We enjoyed it so much. We asked him to share an educational and medical minute with us. And so that's what we're going to do right now. One of the things that many people aren't fully aware of is the education model versus the medical model. I'm a teacher. And Keely worked in community with adults for years. And the way we see things sometimes is very different from the way Kishore would see things from his perspective as a doctor. So they're kind of become these two fields of interest. You have an education model and a medical model. And sometimes Kishore, in one of his last segments, was talking about the importance of getting quality information into the hands of OBGYNs who may or may not have as much experience with Down syndrome. And one of my passions is getting good quality information in the hands of teachers and therapists and those in community who work with our adults, like Keely used to, because very often we have a lot of medical, you may or may not have these different medical complications that masquerade as other issues that sometimes we don't understand there's a problem. We'll start, Kishore, I think one of the easiest is with the sleep apnea. I mean, a lot of times our kids and our adults don't even present with the symptoms of sleep apnea, but they may be moderately to severely involved.
Yes, I agree. I think sleep apnea is probably, for our clinic population, it's probably the biggest masquerader of so many different things. And you're right. It's when we look at studies that look at parent reports of sleep apnea symptoms, very often they don't end up correlating with what we find on the sleep study, meaning a child might have really severe sleep apnea and the parents might say, I just never knew. I never knew it didn't seem like he was snoring, didn't seem like there was any pauses. So it can be really subtle, really silent in the kids. And then we might discover or suspect sleep apnea based on some symptoms that you might not even think about when you're thinking of sleep apnea. One of the biggest things that we'll hear is, you know, it seems that, you know, this child does really well in the morning time, but then come the afternoon, they seem to have a hard time paying attention, their behaviors rise, and so people will say, well, it must be ADHD, but that's odd. Why would it only be, you know, in the afternoons?
Right.
And then they'll say, well, maybe it's the class or maybe it's the teacher, and all these different things will, you know, be tried to figure out educationally how we can reach this child, when in the end, what it ends up being is sleep apnea. You know, for you or me or an adult, when we get sleep, if we have sleep apnea, we get tired and we take a nap, or maybe we get a little grumpy or something like that. But for children, especially it seems like for children with Down syndrome, when they get sleep apnea, very often it shows up as hyperactivity, so increased activity levels, difficulty paying attention, difficulty sitting still, and then all of a sudden it looks a lot like ADHD. Mm-hmm. And the problem is once somebody says it's ADHD, now you're going down the pathway of medications and treatments that they probably don't need.
Exactly.
If it's sleep apnea related. And so definitely behavioral changes are some of the more common things that we'll see. And while we're going down the path of figuring out educationally what are the best approaches, I think medically one of the big things we need to look for is sleep apnea for the kids. Certainly another one that we see is reflux, you know, gastroesophageal reflux, or is heartburn, another way people will call it, is often a behavioral changer for kids. I remember in my first couple of months of doing this clinic, we had a 17-year-old who came in, and he came in because the school said he was having dementia. He's 17. And 17-year-olds don't have dementia. And they were calling him early onset dementia. So the family came in to see us to try to figure out, is there something else that might be going on? And sure enough, the child was burping more frequently. He was grabbing at his chest a little bit more often. And we said, you know, maybe this is reflux. And so we started him on a reflux medication. A couple of weeks later, the dementia resolved. Because it wasn't dementia at all.
Right.
He just couldn't verbalize the pain that he was feeling. Mm. And so he withdrew. And we see that as a pain response for a lot of people with Down syndrome, is we see withdraw, they'll withdraw from their normal things that they do. And people will say, huh, that's an odd behavior change. But actually what it is, it's a response to the pain that they may not be able to verbalize quite as effectively exactly what's going on.
Good point.
So, yeah.
Yeah. You know, well, and I think there's a misconception, or at least in it's been my experience so far, that very often I'll hear a teacher say, a therapist say, occasionally even a doctor say, well, that's just Down syndrome. Mm. And when I hear that, I mean, now, you know, 9 years down the road, I know enough to know that, like, that's for me, it's a trigger. Whoa.
Yes.
Because wait a second. No, that there really isn't any quote unquote, that's just Down syndrome. Like, that's not what it is. So for me, that's always a warning sign. So like, if I walk into a classroom and see a kiddo who's kind of in the late afternoon bouncing off the walls, and somebody says, oh, that's, you know, just Down syndrome, it's like, no, that really actually, that's not what Down syndrome.
Yes.
Something else is going on here. We need to look at it.
And I think anytime there's behavioral changes in one of the children that we follow, we have to do a complete and full medical evaluation. Thyroid problems can show up as behavior changes. Celiac disease can show up as behavior changes, vision abnormalities or hearing abnormalities. Of course, in a classroom, those are big components. And if you can't see the board or hear the teacher, that might turn into behavioral changes. And so it's so really important that we never blow off. I agree with you 100%. I hate the term, that's just Down syndrome. I think it's very important to make sure medically that there's not another contributor to what's going on in their behaviors.
Well, and, you know, I think one of the things is some of the kiddos, you know, we have this, we may or may not have low muscle tone, we may or may not, but sometimes the symptoms may also come and go. For example, if you have a kiddo who has sinusitis, and they have an active case, you know, and it clogs their hearing, it causes, you know, just kind of a major issue, and then they medicate, you know, then the behavior issues go away, but then, you know, you clear it up. It becomes an interesting, sometimes it is a puzzle to work out, but I think also keeping that piece in there that every child can learn, it's just, for me, sometimes I think I'm just extremely passionate about figuring out what is it medically that's causing the issue that's interfering with the kid educationally. I think it's a big deal.
I agree. I think it's an often mistaken thing to say that it must just have one or the other. Often there's a combination of things going on, but boy, the medical stuff so many times is so manageable and treatable that it's a shame that so many kids go for so long and, oh my goodness, their thyroid was out of whack. That's why they were, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really important thing. And I think, you know, important for families to know when we're talking about these medical things, it can sometimes feel overwhelming. Wow, all of these different areas could potentially be the reason for some of these educational issues. Where do I find out more? I think it's important for families to know there is healthcare guidelines available that were recently updated and reaffirmed. But the parent version is available as well on healthychildren.org. healthychildren.org. And then if you search Down syndrome, you'll find the parent version of the healthcare guidelines broken down by age. And I encourage all of the families, bring that with you to your primary care doctor visit and say, you know, according to the guidelines, at 5, he's supposed to be getting his thyroid checked every year, and we haven't checked it in a few years. And so it allows the providers to get up reminders, I guess, in a kind way, from their families that they're taking care of. And then the doctor version or the provider version is also available on pediatrics.org. But for a family without medical background, the best thing is going to go to the healthychildren.org website and getting that from there.
Well, you know, Kishore, you just gave me what I consider, like, that would be really great for our community providers and our teachers, actually, to have that access to that healthychildren.org as well. Don't you think, Keely? I mean, like, to just to be able to share with parents if they...
I do. I think information is powerful. I think that it can guide you down the path you need to go. And what I really liked that you said earlier was doing that full workup and making sure you're not missing anything. Because too many times, you know, if we are just rushing to say it's one thing and not doing the full workup, we may miss something. It might actually be a couple things, and we can, you know, troubleshoot, get it taken care of, and hopefully get the kiddo back to living, working, playing, whatever their normal life would look like, and, you know, and hopefully get them, get their family some answers too. So I love that, because again, too many times undiagnosed, misdiagnosed, and you don't know what path you need to go down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, well, and even, you know, when you talk visual tracking issues with that low muscle tone in the eyeballs, there's so much that may or may not impact a kiddo. But anyway, Key Short has been awesome. And ladies and gentlemen, this has been our educational medical
our
minute
medical
with
minute.
Dr. Kishore Velody. Thank you so much, Kishore.
Oh, thank you for having me.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back. This is Hashtag Everyone talking about Hashtag Everything. Happy Sunday.
Don't you think it's time for a financial advisor who takes time to explain things? Brad Kurz, your local Edward Jones financial advisor, does. Investing can seem complicated. That's why he takes time to listen, understands your needs, and explains without jargon. Experience the Edward Jones difference. Contact Brad today, 573-221-1302. That's 221-1302. Making time to take time. That's how Edward Jones makes sense of investing. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
Get your tickets today up at downcountry.com for Down Country's Rhinestones and Rodeo Art Auction and Dance, January 13th, 2018 at the Ambiance in Quincy, Illinois. Show you love. Doors open at 5:30. Marilyn Tolbert, president of the NDSC, with Nolan Smith, teen extraordinaire and self-advocate speaker, with Sean Smith, PhD, a.k.a. DAD, a live auction, silent auction, Nace Brothers Band, and more. Get your tickets today up at downcountry.com.
Branching Out LLC, a premier lawn and landscaping service that can meet all your residential and commercial needs. Regardless of the season, Branching Out offers a service for maintenance-free outside living. Branching Out takes the time to listen to your needs and ensure it's done correctly the first time. If you're not satisfied, Branching Out is not satisfied. To contact Branching Out, call 573-501-0760 or visit them at www.branchingoutllc.com.
And we're back. This is Hashtag Everyone talking about Hashtag Everything. Happy Sunday morning to you. I'm Kate Doherty with my co-host Keely Reiger. And we just finished up our first EdMed Minute with Dr. Kishore Velody talking about, well, quite frankly, things that we don't always understand when it comes to what's going on with kids educationally, because it's actually a medical situation. But one of the things we were talking about on the break is how this also affects adults in the community, because we see the same thing.
Absolutely. And it can't be just the focus of K through 12. Mm-hmm. It has to go beyond that. And we have to realize that no matter where we're at, we have to look at the factors that play into the issues that we're seeing. And Kate, you and I on the break were talking about this and about more of a holistic approach and not just looking at the behavior or not mm-hmm. just looking at the symptoms. We need to look at the history, because what's coming into play with that. And if you're looking from a holistic approach, you've got to look from every angle. So you need to look educational background. You need to look medical history. You need to look family and home life dynamics. There's a lot of things that are going to come into play with this and how you approach this. And one thing that I love that Velody said was you've got to get a full medical workup. Well, to do that workup, you can, but you also need to have the history to be able to move forward with that and to see anything that maybe is changing. And I think that's really crucial for parents and for educators to be aware of, and also community providers, because as we age, our bodies change. So medications are not going to affect us exactly the way they maybe had been. Maybe our hormone levels, all of those factors come in. So we've really got to take an in-depth look at this and not just say, it's ADHD. Let's slap some medicine on it. And I don't mean that. That sounds really flippant. And I don't mean it to. But do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, I think we get used to, especially kind of living in a rural area, we get used to going, well, if it walks like a duck and it looks like a duck, then, you know, and it quacks like a duck, it must be a duck. Except the reality is, because we're looking from our sphere of influence, we don't necessarily know all the different types of ducks there are out there. So this may be a whole
other
species.
There are unknown species of ducks out there.
Exactly. And it may not even be a duck. It may just look exactly like a duck.
That's right.
But, you know, I think a lot, like, Kelia worked in the community with adults for many, many years. And I think one of the stories you've told me was there was a, I don't remember if it was a gentleman or a lady, but they began to exhibit different styles of behavior within their community living structure. And for me, the correlation here is like with senior citizens who suddenly begin to have different style behaviors. And we think it's one thing. You know, we may think they're, again, dementia. We may be thinking Alzheimer's. We may be thinking, you know, trouble at home. What's going on when we're looking at that community living standpoint? But in this case, it was medicine. Like the story, they were just taking their medicine inappropriately, and it was causing these things. And so the solution was a very simple. I mean, tell your pill bottle or how to tell when you've taken medicine.
Oh, well, this individual, actually, I would love to say that it was my idea. However, she came up with the idea because she couldn't remember whether she had taken her medicine or not. So basically, she knew if she had taken that medicine, if she flipped the bottle over and it was upside down. She would start out that way at night, and when she'd take the bottle, when she would take the medicine, forgive me, I'm stammering here this morning, but she would flip it right side up. And so she knew, I've taken that medication, I'm good to go for the day. I don't need to take it again. Because with traumatic brain injury or anyone who suffers from some sort of a short-term memory loss.
Over 40,
hormones raging, you know, it can be a lot of things, but that was a simple solution for her. And boy, did the behaviors went away because we were just not over medicating. So, yeah, it can be a simple fix, but I don't think that we need to always think it's just going to be a simple fix. We need to look in depth. And what I love, too, that Velotti had said in our medical minute was that he talked about health care guidelines for family at healthychildren.org. So you could put in Down syndrome into that search engine and find all kinds of guidelines that you should be following. And then there's also pediatrics.org that physicians can be following. I think just having some guidelines to go by of what we need to be looking at what age, might help us just kind of funnel through the hard stuff. But again, still looking at the histories of all three things, educational, home life, medical, put it into play because, you know, mom and dad may have medical history that comes into play with this as well.
Well, and also I think what I hear you saying there is that communication piece between all of the facets.
Yes.
Because that's really what was resonating there, because when you were talking about, you know, we need this full picture, but in order to get that full picture, we have to talk about what's going on at home, what's going on at school, what's going on, what are we looking at here? But furthermore, as we do so, we've got to be conscious of if we're using acronyms that confuse people.
Well, and I think when we compartmentalize education, medical, family, I think we do a big disservice not only to the child or the individual, adult, whatever age it is, but also to us as the provider, because we're not able to provide the service that we want to provide to that individual because we don't have all the information. So those team meetings are really crucial. Those neuropsychs that give you the history, it's really crucial that people read those and have the information going in, because when this individual comes into the classroom or into a community setting, something might present itself and they think it's one thing, but it's really something else if they had read that neuropsych, because there are factors that are going to come into play and you might approach it differently.
Well, and I think memory issues, from a classroom perception or from an adult living perception, very often, you know, it's very easy if someone has a shorter long-term memory issue to become annoyed.
Oh,
you know, like,
sure.
Well, gosh, they can't remember this, or, well, I've told you 20 times, I don't get. So without that knowledge of, hey, wait a second, there is actually a disturbance, we can put
compensatory strategies in place is what we can do. And I think I just had this conversation with someone, and I don't mean to have a squirrel moment. You look like you have a thought in your head, so I apologize. But I just had this conversation with a person who is an employer, and he said, I've told my staff person 20 times the same thing, the same thing, the same thing. And I said, did you know he had a traumatic brain injury? Did you know that he has memory loss? Did you know? And he's like, well, yeah, you mentioned that. And I'm like, no. Write things down. Put it on a clipboard. He can check them off as he goes. And clearly it works. So, you know, okay, go. Yeah, okay,
no, that was exactly, I still don't know that I have the word, but that we have a tendency to say, that this person, they are choosing not to do this, or they don't want to do this, or it's almost like an emotion. There's a big word out there that I can't find. But the fact of the matter is, it's not a choice for someone who has short or long-term memory, but they can still do their job. They can still do what they need to do. It just needs to be, as you said, written down or put in a different strategy. One of the best parts about technology for individuals with those memory issues is being able to set the reminders on the phone.
Absolutely. You know, and a lot of times there's also teachers will say, well, they're just lazy. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to just throw out teachers because I'm saying community providers as well. Anyone, myself included. But when you have someone who has had any part of the brain affected, lack of initiation and motivation are two things that can be affected. And, you know, that person is going to need a little extra help to get what they need and to start jump starting to what they need.
Well, and that's where when it looks like a duck and walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it's not always the duck. And speaking of that, our quacker is going off right now. So this is coming to the end of the second segment of Hashtag Everyone, talking about Hashtag Everything. We will be right back. Happy Sunday to you.
Branching Out LLC, a premier lawn and landscaping service that can meet all your residential and commercial needs. Regardless of the season, Branching Out offers a service for maintenance-free outside living. Branching Out takes the time to listen to your needs and ensure it's done correctly the first time. If you're not satisfied, Branching Out is not satisfied. To contact Branching Out, call 573-501-0760 or visit them at www.branchingoutllc.com.
Get your tickets today up at downcountry.com for Down Country's Rhinestones and Rodeo Art Auction and Dance, January 13th, 2018 at the Ambiance in Quincy, Illinois. Show you love. Doors open at 5:30. Marilyn Tolbert, president of the NDSC, with Nolan Smith, teen extraordinaire and self-advocate speaker, with Sean Smith, PhD, a.k.a. DAD, a live auction, silent auction, Nace Brothers Band, and more. Get your tickets today up at downcountry.com.
Don't you think it's time for a financial advisor who takes time to explain things? Brad Kurz, your local Edward Jones financial advisor, does. Investing can seem complicated. That's why he takes time to listen, understands your needs, and explains without jargon. Experience the Edward Jones difference. Contact Brad today, 573-221-1302. That's 221-1302. Making time to take time. That's how Edward Jones makes sense of investing. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
I learn, I speak, I care. Hashtag every child. Down Country, because every child is a gift. Every child can learn, and every child learns differently. Up at downcountry.com. Up at downcountry.com or call 217-617-3568. 217-617-3568 or visit Down Country on Facebook or Twitter. Hashtag every child. And welcome back. This is Hashtag Everyone talking about Hashtag Everything. Happy Sunday morning to you. So we've been talking about, we started with an EdMed Minute with Kishore Velotti, and then we've kind of been talking about education, medical, community issues related to misunderstanding. But, you know, we only know what we know, and there are a lot of things that can get in the way. On break, Keely and I were talking a few years ago. We went to go to the Missouri Assistive Technology Conference, MOATP. And I got the information, and I was like, oh, my gosh, what happened? Did they combine with the state of Illinois? I don't get this. Everything has IL on it. And Keely's like, Kate, that's independent living. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. But, I mean, I live in Missouri, Illinois, Iowa, so when I see IL, I just assume
it's the state of Illinois.
And so, yeah. So
you got to love those acronyms.
Yeah, well, I think you were talking about the triple threat while we were on break, too. And the triple threat is?
The triple threat. We've got acronyms, we've got assumptions, and that affects our approach. So, you know, talking about acronyms, I had to create a list of acronyms. And I'm telling you, it was a full page of acronyms for a new hire. Our new CFO at the place I used to work in Kansas, because she said, when you speak, it's like a foreign language. And I think we forget as individuals that are in the field to explain those things. And as parents, too, because, Kate, you can speak acronyms, and I'm like, slow up, don't know what you're saying. And that's, you know, that's just how, when you're in it, you know, we try to shorten it a little bit. But I think that leads right into the assumptions. We assume people are understanding us, not only with acronyms, but also with anything else that we're saying.
Well, yeah, and I think what people fail to remember is adults, we don't like to ask questions very much. You know, especially if you're talking about something I don't know. I remember one time asking you about some form of a funding related issue, and you were hysterical because you were like, oh, you just pull form XYZ of the 1234 ABC XYZ. And I'm like, what in the heck are you talking about?
Okay, you
sister?
Made that up.
That one I did make up because I'd never remember in a million
the XYZ.
Years.
But no, you're right. And that's exactly right. We get into this and we assume people are understanding us. And I think you're right. Fear as a parent or as a provider of any sort, whether it be educational, community, medical, sometimes we don't speak because of fear of looking dumb or feeling like we look dumb or asking a dumb question. And there are no dumb questions. I just want to put that out there.
Yeah.
There are no dumb questions.
Well, you know, it was interesting. I had a doctor one time say, what are you, Dr. Google? And, you know, at first I went, what? However, you know what? It's okay to be Dr. Google.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to ask questions. It really is okay. And quite frankly, it's okay. You may have a bit of information that you want to share. Please share it. I mean, with your doctor, with your school, with the more knowledge and information we have, because sometimes it's just that one needle in the haystack that can.
Absolutely. I mean, Google is where I got my MD. I mean, come on. I take it everywhere I go. I just, you know, I do. I like to research things, as I know you do as well. I like to be prepared for meetings. I like to be prepared with questions, but I had to learn to be that way. I, too, used to sit in meetings and say, oh, I don't want to ask that question because they're going to look at me like, what is she talking about?
Mm-hmm.
But that's the only way we open up a new line of communication that will lead us to where maybe we need to be going.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that approach of approaching it without fear, that we're all there for the same reason, for that individual, that we're wanting to provide quality education, quality medical services, quality community providing. I think if we come at it from the angle, pull up to the table, lean in, because there is nothing wrong with that.
Well, and I think the thing is, we have to make certain those assumptions don't get in the way of troubleshooting. I mean, it's okay. Like, if you think it looks like a duck and quacks like a duck, all that, that's fine. But are we still troubleshooting? Because
are
right
we missing
now,
something?
That duck is having issues. And so is this truly a duck-related issue, or do we need to adjust something we're doing? And I think that becomes a $24 million question.
Oh, I agree with that 100%. 100%.
Yeah. So I also think one of the things that we fail to sometimes realize is the connections between the home, school, community. And I know we've kind of hammered this point home today, but I don't think that it really can be hammered home enough, because all of these factors interplay together to create the quality of life.
Absolutely. And I think just remembering that whatever someone from home, school, community, medical brings to the table should be valued.
Mm-hmm.
Their information should be valued, taken into consideration before making any decisions. Because what we think might be that duck and quacks like a duck, once we get different pieces of information from a different category, if you will, we might change our mind and change our approach.
Yeah. Keely, I've really enjoyed this today.
I think we
should do some more EdMed Minutes with Dr. Velotti. What about you?
Oh, he rocks. Bring him on. Let's do it.
I think so, too. All right, y'all. I hope you have a blessed Sunday. And I hope and pray that as you go about your life, when you see a situation, troubleshoot it.
Mm-hmm.
Look at it. Remember that triple threat, you know?
No fear.
Go in there and together, I really believe that we can make our community a better place.
Amen.
And so, all right, have a blessed Sunday. This is Hashtag Everyone talking about Hashtag Everything. We'll see you next week. Have a great day.